With nearly 5,000 specialists dedicated to supporting dealer financial services, Ally has the expertise to help you with your retail finance, F&I, and remarketing needs. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, Executive Editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, Honda plans a massive EV expansion in Canada. A mixed bag for Ford earnings in the first quarter. We'll hear from our own Michael Martinez about what's working and what's not.
You know, Ford Pro is really Ford's secret weapon that isn't so secret anymore.
Plus, more sluggish financial results from public retail groups. Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Honda will make a series of investments in Canada worth a combined $15 billion Canadian or $11 billion U.S. dollars. The automaker plans to create an integrated electric vehicle battery supply chain in the country from the ground up. Bloomberg and the Canadian press reported early today that the Japan-based automaker is moving ahead with long-rumored plans that will greatly expand its Canadian footprint. Honda will also invest in two joint venture supplier plants in cities elsewhere in the province, which the company hasn't named yet. One plant with South Korea-based partner POSCO Future M will produce precursor and cathode active material for Honda's battery cells. The other, headed by Japan-based chemical company Asahi Kasei, will produce battery separators. Meanwhile, Toyota will invest $1.4 billion into its assembly complex in Princeton, Indiana, to manufacture a three-row electric vehicle. Details of the investment signal that it may be an alteration of one of the plant's existing nameplates instead of an all-new vehicle. The Japanese automaker did not offer many specifics about the new model.
Ford's first quarter net income fell 24% to $1.3 billion. But revenue rose, and the company improved its forecast for free cash flow and capital expenditures. Ford cited a strong performance from its commercial vehicle unit as the reason revenue increased while vehicle shipments declined. The unit, Ford Pro, earned $3 billion before interest and taxes. Global revenue was up 3% to nearly $43 billion. We'll have more on Ford's first quarter results in a few minutes with our own Michael Martinez.
Hyundai is warning of intensifying competition and uncertain global economic conditions. That's after posting a 2.4% drop in quarterly profit. A domestic sales plunge played a big role in the results. Hyundai's cautious outlook contrasts with bullish forecasts from its U.S. rival General Motors, which this week reported strong profit growth thanks to stable pricing and demand for gasoline engine vehicles. Hyundai is facing strong near-term headwinds from its shrinking exposure to China and faltering demand in South Korea. Hyundai reported a net profit of $2.32 billion in the period. That's down slightly from a year earlier. Revenue rose 7.6%, helped by solid overseas sales. A weaker local currency also boosted repatriated earnings.
And the first quarter wasn't overly kind to public retail groups either, as inventories rise, giving consumers more choice and putting pressure on profit margins. Asbury Automotive's net income dropped 19% from a year earlier to about $147 million. Record revenue was offset by reduced vehicle gross profit and rising expenses. Group One's net income slipped almost 7% to about $148 million amid a decline in new vehicle margins. Revenue was up 8.2% from 2023 to $4.5 billion. And Sonic Automotive's net income tumbled 12% to $42 million amid higher floor plan costs and about $7 million in pre-tax charges. Revenue was down 3% to $3.4 billion. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, Honda expanding their footprint in Canada. Is EV adoption in Canada growing faster than in the US? And also, are there certain advantages that Honda may get in Canada that you might not get in the United States?
Yeah, I don't think EVs are growing faster in Canada. Canadian consumers tend to be a little more pragmatic, a little less flashy or trendy than US car buyers. They tend to buy cheaper cars. And so EVs aren't cheaper yet. But really, the important thing is that Honda is making this investment in North America. So its vehicles would all qualify for Inflation Reduction Act incentives. And so I think what it really comes down to is, you know, the way all the automakers were shopping around, trying to find where they can get the best incentives from the governments in the U.S. state and the federal, and in Canada, it's the provincial and the federal governments, but the both support for their investments and still qualify for the tax break. So Honda investing big in Canada, you know, investing in Canada is always a little bit of an arbitrage against the U.S. Usually healthcare costs are lower because you get a lot of government support for that. But some other costs are higher. So I'm sure Honda did their homework in making this decision.
Gotcha. Coming up, we'll take a closer look at Ford's earnings results with our own Michael Martinez. That's next on Daily Drive.
For over 100 years, Ally has helped dealers like you serve your customers by providing the best-in-class products and services you need and by remaining true to the automotive passion we share. Your dedicated Ally account executive will work hand-in-hand with you to help you gain efficiencies, increase your product offerings, and work to improve per-vehicle revenue because we care about your business as much as you do. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally. Do it right.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. As we mentioned earlier, Ford's first quarter earnings results were a mix of good and bad news for the automaker. Here to talk more about it is Automotive News staff reporter Michael Martinez, joining us from his home office in Detroit. Michael Martinez, welcome back to Daily Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Ford Motor Company, first quarter profit dropped by about a quarter to $1.3 billion. I guess when I think about how, you know, inventory is normalizing and discounts are coming up, that seems like a pretty reasonably good result.
They describe it as solid, and I don't think that's too far off of what most people would say. You know, the net income was down, but revenue grew. They have a lot of cash on hand, and they upped their free cash flow target. So they see things pretty strong for the rest of this year and leading into 2024. And that's largely on the strength of a lot of their gas-powered vehicles and on their commercial unit, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, the stock is down a little, but not as much as the market overall. So maybe that's actually a bit of a win on Wall Street. We certainly saw GM get a nice bump from their quarter. But I guess the thing that really jumped out the most for me in your story about Ford's first quarter was CEO Jim Farley's comment that the automaker avoided about 12 recalls by holding back about 60,000 F-150s for 3 to 6 weeks for additional quality checks. A dozen recall-worthy defects? That's good to avoid, but not a very good sign. What else did Farley have to say about Ford's quality problems?
Well, they're still there. And I think that's a major issue because this is something the company's been talking about wanting to fix for years. And they've led the industry in recalls for three straight years, and it's already trending that way in 2024. And this is a big product year for them. They have a number of refreshes and redesigns coming out in the second half of the year, and F-150 was sort of that first test, right? It's the crown jewel of the company, and they kind of botched it again. And this wasn't even a redesign. This was a mid-cycle refresh, so not a whole lot of changes, and they had to hold back 60,000 trucks and avoid 12 recalls. That's very eye-popping. I was kind of shocked at that number. I think Wall Street has sort of given them a pass or brushed it off because Farley said that, you know, while obviously it's not good and it impacted their first quarter results, they have new processes in place with their vehicle launches that was able to catch these 12 potential recalls, and that moving forward, it's going to save them a lot of money because holding them back is going to be better than just putting out a defective product. But at the end of the day, you still have to wonder if it's really learned anything, you know, if there's going to be delays with the refreshed Explorer and Aviator later this year, or the Navigator and Expedition that are expected to be redesigned later this year. I think there's still a lot of questions about not only Ford's quality, but its manufacturing processes.
Yeah, undoubtedly, it would have been worse to put out a refreshed F-150 and have to recall it a dozen times. I mean, it would really hurt their credibility, but it doesn't sound good to even have that be a possibility. Long way to go and a lot to prove before these other crucial launches, as you said. So that's the bad news, or that's a big piece of, I guess, to us, it looks like bad news. I guess the surprisingly good news, and it's not a first time, but Ford Pro, the commercial division, is doing great. And it seems like it's one of the few slices of the auto industry that's really figuring out a profitable and value enhancing way to do subscriptions, to offer subscription services, not a subscription where, hey, you can drive an F-150 3 days and then switch to an F-250 for some other job, but the way they use it for the telematics and other information and analysis.
You know, Ford Pro is really Ford's secret weapon that isn't so secret anymore. We're talking first quarter margins of 17%, right? Revenues up 36%. And, you know, you have very profitable vehicles like the Super Duty that these fleet customers are buying. But to your point, there's a real value in the subscriptions they're offering, whether it's telematics data for fleets, you know, telling owners how to save gas mileage here, how to, you know, fix vehicles that may need maintenance, preventative maintenance there, security features. Ford's advertised some security features to keep stuff in trucks safe. And I think it's a real no-brainer for a lot of these business owners to purchase these subscriptions. Whereas with retail customers, it may be more of a challenge to get them to buy in. You know, that you worry about nickel and diming them. They may get a little irritated if a dealer tries, right? But again, with the fleet customers, it's a pretty easy sell.
Yeah, with the fleet customers, there's a return on investment. And like you said, it's a no-brainer. I don't know that there's the same kind of use case for a consumer. You know, maybe some stuff around EV, you know, charging could be beneficial, but it seems like a real stretch. But, you know, hat tip to Ford Pro for doing it and doing, you know, really, I think, not only running such a profitable business, but making their customers happier, which is always a good thing to do. They're spending more and they're happy about it. So that's pretty cool. The other, you know, rain cloud, of course, is the EV business, Model E. It lost $1.3 billion. That's the same number as the net loss, but this isn't a net. This is the units are described on a pre-tax basis. I heard some reports in other media that kind of made it sound like they were the same. By on the pre-tax, Ford earned $2.8 billion. So Model E kind of cut the profits by about a third for the quarter. What's the thinking on Model E at Ford right now? How are they looking at the EV business?
Well, the thinking is they kind of need to take their lumps right now because they can't. They're taking cost out of the vehicles. Ford said they've taken $5,000 out of the cost of the Mustang Mach-E since it launched a few years back, but they still can't turn a profit. The pricing environment with EVs is really tough, but they need to continue to invest and continue to sell these EVs because at the end of the day, it does help them offset their gasoline sales when it comes to regulations and emissions requirements and things of that nature. So they're going to need to take these losses here for the next few years. They say they're not going to be profitable until they come out with that next generation of product, whether it's, you know, these smaller, lower cost vehicles they're talking about, or some three-row crossovers that they've delayed a few years, or the next generation EV pickup. So it's going to be a tough walk until then. But for now, you know, you are seeing when they do lower costs. We talked about this with the Mustang Mach-E. They did see a sales boost from that. So what they're seeing is customers are willing to buy. They just want to buy at the right price.
I mean, $1.3 billion, you know, so that masks out to like $4.25 billion for the year. That would be better than the forecast, right? Didn't they project 5 to 5.5, something like that? It seems, or are there going to be other costs later in the year and they're not adjusting the forecast on, they're not improving their outlook on Model E for the year, lessening the loss outlook.
Yeah, they still expect to lose between $5 and $5.5 billion. So, you know, they expect pricing to continue to go down a bit here. So not a great outlook. Again, this is more of, you know, a couple years down the road, it'll get better. We just have to take our lumps now.
Yep. So, of course, you know, Ford is always measured against GM. They're the two big Detroit companies, UAW workforces, very North American focused businesses. GM reported a net profit of $3 billion. Is GM doing twice as well as Ford?
Well, I think the real message here is the contrast in how they feel the rest of the year is going to go, right? Ford maintained its guidance. GM boosted it. And they now expect to make, I think, about $2.5 billion at the high end, more than what Ford expects to make. And, you know, you're seeing there's some similarities with the companies, right? And really with a lot of manufacturers right now, it is larger SUVs and trucks, the gasoline and hybrid variants that are leading the way, allowing for these profits for them to invest in the other parts of the business. And I think that's the case, obviously, with GM here. But, you know, Ford, again, I think it comes down to its issues with quality and manufacturing. And, you know, the concerns maybe that it does have a lot of launches through the rest of the year that could impact things.
Yeah. Yeah. If Ford didn't have to hold back those 60,000 F-150s, the gap wouldn't have been nearly so large. But they did have to. and like you said, it raises some questions going forward, but we'll see if the new processes work. And we know you'll be staying on top of the story. Michael Martinez covers Ford and the UAW for us here at Automotive News. Mike, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks, Jamie.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News executive producer Jake Neer, as well as our own John Hutter, Julie Walker, and Paige Hodder for their reporting for today's podcast. We also had reporting from David Kennedy of our sibling publication, Automotive News Canada. You can get the latest news on earnings results, EV investments, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for a conversation with Lee Harkins, CEO of M5 Management Services, about using vehicle inspection videos to promote the bona fides of your dealership's technicians.
Once that customer gets it, they are wowed the first two or three times, and then all of a sudden you don't send them a video, they're disappointed. So we got to be consistently good as a minimum.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.